This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Hello there, and welcome to Sunday Arts Magazine. It's the Sunday show that makes all the difference on Joy 94.9. And here you are with your hosts, Brendan Michael Bale and David John Hunt.
How are you, David?
I'm well, thank you, Brendan.
It's been a fantastic week.
Well, the weather has been improved. But, well, you're right in the thick of the arts nowadays, aren't you?
And very busy boy. Certainly am. And getting some really interesting interviews under my belt, basically.
Fantastic.
Yes. Got to meet Kate Sobrano this week and had a great chat about what she's doing.
What a wonderful performer she is. For people that don't know that you're actually a journalist outside of Joy, aren't you?
I am. I try and keep things under wraps a little bit, keep my little world separate, do overlap a lot.
They overlap a real lot, especially within the arts too, doesn't it?
They certainly do. And, actually, tonight I actually got a really great chance to cover Rocky Horror Show. Mm-hmm. It's obviously opening this weekend, so we're heading along to that this afternoon.
That's right.
That's fabulous. But
and it seems to be back all the time because it's just one of those timeless ones. Oh, let's do the time war. but it is one of those timeless events shows, I should say, that just people love to go and see. And it was only, I reckon it was only 8 or 9 months ago it was here last time.
And it's funny that you bring that up because they're putting out the word maybe that they can do one of those mass photos again that they did on the steps.
Oh, right.
Because although there's been some changes, now we've got 4 other big shows, which
musicals,
Rocky Horror was part of that one as well.
Yep.
You've got Anything Goes and The Lion King now, plus Rocky Horror and Strictly Ballroom.
Yes.
So we've got the 4 big ones. Yep. All 4 major theatres are booked out.
And that's such a credit to Melbourne and that it keeps on happening. Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is coming
that's
as well.
Very exciting.
There's the media call tomorrow for the cast of that. They announce the cast tomorrow. And then, of course, the production company. They've got West Side Story coming up not all that far away as well.
Very excited about that. Now, I'm going to play a little track, David.
Okay.
And I'm not going to tell you what it's from yet.
Oh, okay.
And you've got to guess.
Right.
So let's get into that right now. You're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine with David and Brendan.
What a beautiful piece of music. I have no idea what it's from, but that's maybe, is it something science fiction-y?
Well, yes, David, now you mention it. It takes a little bit from John Williams' score from Jurassic Park, but it's in fact from Jurassic World, yes. New one. So it's actually a new composer this time, Michael Giacchino.
Yep.
But he's used that iconic sound to sort of reintroduce people to the Jurassic Park world.
Yeah.
And dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. Because John Williams is so well known with Spielberg productions, of course, with Raiders of the Lost Ark, all of those, all the Star Wars, he did them as well. So many iconic film soundtracks he was involved in. And, you know, the sheer fact that nowadays they're using other people is, I suppose, he's getting a little bit long in the tooth, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think it's kind of an homage to his beautiful work in the original. So,
yep.
Yeah, I guess he will be getting on a little bit, but it's nice that they've sort of respected his
absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely, and Spielberg's way. Like that too, isn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, he loves working with a lot of the same people, like Harrison Ford, who we worked for so many years, and Tom Hanks. The collaboration with him, they're best friends and work together. I believe there's a new Tom Hanks film coming out, which has been directed by Spielberg as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I'm very excited about that one as well.
So you've been to see the film?
Yes, I went to see Jurassic World, starring Chris Pratt. So he's the new superstar.
How cute is he looking these days?
Oh, well, yeah. I always thought he was cute anyway.
Yeah, but he's slimmed down a lot, and it's because he's just got that really boy next door, but a little bit cheeky, a bit tongue in cheek, and they're virtually saying he is probably going to be the new Harrison Ford if they do make a Indiana Jones again.
Yes, well, yeah, his name was thrown around even before this weekend, but now we're looking at about $200 million in the US alone could break the box office record for the Avengers, taking that off the mantle. We'll see what happens, but it's doing very, very well. And you can kind of imagine that with this sort of a reboot of the franchise, you know, number two was very successful, number three, not so much, both critically and financially.
Yep.
So, you know, they tried to make one in about 2005 and didn't really get off the ground, bit of a development hell situation. But this one, all the elements kind of came together and it's worked really well. And I think it's been long enough to sort of reboot the franchise and reintroduce people to this wonderful world of dinosaurs. And I know I was obsessed with them as a kid.
Yeah.
And there's still this sort of beauty and mystery around them because they're just these mythical kind of creatures.
Yeah, but they weren't mythical because they were real.
They were real, and that's the weird thing.
And the fact is that every generation for the last, say, 20 or 30 years, dinosaurs for little kids have been huge.
Mm.
So, yes, it is the right timing to bring Jurassic Park back or World this time.
Yes, a new name for it this time. But it is. It's this sort of larger, it is a world sort of thing, this theme park essentially.
Yep.
But even in the story, it's kind of like it's been around for a while, so they reopened it. Everything's going well. no incidents for a while, but people are starting to get a little bit of fatigue, dinosaur fatigue, so they're trying to up the ante, and that's where the new story sort of catapults. They get a little bit too dodgy and focusing on the money rather than focusing on the science and all the things that can go wrong, and they will go wrong.
And were you entertained?
Do you know what? This was probably the most entertaining film I've seen in a long time.
Right.
It was a big mess. It was, you know, but the great parts were really fantastic. Anything to do with the dinosaurs attacking each other and attacking people, cannot fault it. But the writing was a little bit sloppy in places and a little bit too convenient. For example, there's one scene where the young kids, you know, the main two kids of the story, know how to fix a Jeep and get it running again. We're talking about sort of a 16-year-old and I think 10-year-old.
And these days they would have no idea.
No. And I don't think they would have even back in 1992. But so there's a few little plot holes like that. But overall, honestly, it was just a fantastic film. You can see every dollar of the $150 million up on screen. Okay. It's stunning.
Right. And what about Chris Pratt? What's he like?
He's wonderful, but it's interesting, you know, maybe because he hadn't had as much success when the film got greenlit. He sort of comes in a little bit later in the film, so he's not from the very first scene.
Okay.
He's kind of a side player, but then as the film progresses, he does become the hero of the story, which kind of undermines the main female character, which is a little bit frustrating. Bryce Dallas Howard, her character's quite one-noted. So that was disappointing on a sort of a gender level of, yeah, when you're coming after Mad Max and the way that the female characters were, it is a bit of a step down. Unfortunately, yes.
But unfortunately, this is a Hollywood film where Mad Max was an Australian
outside.
Was doing it, so therefore he had a little bit more realistic and an honest approach and, and brought women into the fire.
Yes. So, well, hopefully Mad Max will set this precedent now and actually get some stronger roles for women, because unfortunately, yeah, it wasn't written very well, and she was very stereotypical and, just sort of the damsel in distress. And you don't want that in 2015.
No.
It just doesn't stack up anymore. Yeah. So, but, you know, nothing taken away from Chris Pratt. He was hilarious and the part was perfect for him. He was kind of the comedic fodder. And you kind of do take him seriously as an action star as well. I don't know if it's the new physique or, you know, something about him just as a person, but it definitely does translate. He plays that character well.
Well, he seems to, without ever seeing a film that he's been in, but he did that huge science fiction one, didn't he, that was a big success.
What Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah.
And, you know, he seems to be, when he's on screen, you know, he commands your attention. Mm. And, yes, he can be a little bit goofy and have a bit of fun, but he's also got that, as I said, the boy next door that you would believe, you would trust, and you would let him, you know, save your life from whatever.
Exactly right.
The galaxy or a dinosaur, you name it.
Now, I did mention development hell earlier, and I'm going to get into a bit more of a chat about another film that had a very difficult time back when it was first released, but it's in re-release right at the moment.
Okay.
So we'll get chatting about that in a little bit. Here on Joy 94.9, it is Sunday Arts Magazine with David and Brendan.
Joy 94.9.
Wow, wow, wow.
Wow, how good is that? I've always loved that song.
Yes, me too.
And who was it?
Well, that is, of course, Australia's favourite singer-songwriter, Sia.
Right.
And she's
call her favourite or probably most famous right this very moment in the world?
Well, probably most famous now. She's really made a name for herself, hasn't she?
Oh, in America, she's absolutely huge.
Mm, and no doubt they sort of tapped her for this. It was actually the theme song from San Andreas.
Right.
It's actually which that film's still out at the moment. It's the big disaster pick starring The Rock.
Okay, which he's funny. He's really funny. He's a very clever guy, as a matter of fact. But I just love the fact that she's done the most beautiful reworking of the classic Mums and Papas song, of course. But that orchestra backing there is just spectacular.
It just takes it to another level, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you can imagine they used it for the trailer for the film, and you can imagine how impressive it was when I first watched it. Because I'd seen kind of little clips here and there of it, and I thought, oh, it's going to be one of those sort of silly, just, you know, like 2012 kind of films.
Yeah.
Anyway. But when I saw that trailer, it just really elevated it to another level.
Okay.
Anywho, so that's another big budget film out at the moment. We were talking about Jurassic World here on Sunday Arts Magazine, and I didn't give it a rating. I think for entertainment value alone, I'm going to give it a B+.
Oh.
Now, I think if you have seen the original, kind of keep your expectations quite low, because it's not as quality film as Steven Spielberg had produced for the first two films, but very impressive. Now, I was talking about development hell a little bit earlier, wasn't I, David?
Mm-hmm.
Now, one film that went through basically hell to get to the final version of how the director really, really wanted it to come across to audiences, Blade Runner.
Oh, I loved that film when it first came out.
Yes.
Bombed at the box office.
It didn't do very well. Yeah. Once again, it was kind of too many cooks in the kitchen, too many producers having their opinion on the film and how it should be presented to audiences.
But I really enjoyed it, though. I thought it was good.
The original cut was still wonderful.
Yeah, it became a cult following, didn't it?
And
which
yes.
often happens.
Well, sometimes if it's good enough, you know, you would like to think that it would sort of find its audience eventually. But this one, it didn't take very long for that cult audience to sort of grow and groan for something more, you know, closer to the artist Ridley Scott's you know, original vision for the film. So in the original cut that was presented to audiences, there was narration added and scenes were cut out because it apparently didn't make sense to audiences in the test screenings.
Right.
So they sort of dumbed it down, if you want to use that language. Now, thank God that sort of this groundswell of support came for the film afterwards. And, you know, it got to 2007 before the actual final cut was sort of put together properly by Ridley Scott, and all these extras were done for the DVD and all that kind of stuff, celebrating the film and celebrating that cult following that it really did gain over those years.
Yeah, and the music.
Vangelis, yes. Oh,
which I'm a huge fan, because electronica music is my favourite, and Vangelis did a brilliant job with the music on that. And again, it was really popular because of the music as well.
Yeah, well, I know that the soundtrack did very well at the time as well, because it just was so groundbreaking in terms of, you know, marrying image to sound and music. It was just fantastic. Mm. So I know all the elements should have done, you know, should have made sure that it was a box office mammoth at the time, but unfortunately it didn't work. But, you know, I think it just adds even more of a history to the film, and I'm just very grateful that it is, you know, we do have this final version, and it's actually in re-release at the moment. The Asta had that on last night, if I'm correct.
Okay.
And it's currently playing at Cinema Nova. They've extended the season of this re-release
because
as well.
And it's good to see a film like that away from watching it at home, because you get distracted, you get up and wander off, or, you know, like you start looking at your phone, although people are doing that in the cinemas these days as well. But I think films like that you need to see on a bigger screen, and you need to be in that darkened room. So
yeah, and I think in a crowd, it is one of those sort of, it's definitely not a feel-good film, but it is a sort of an event film. It is something that does deserve to be seen on a big screen.
Absolutely.
And it was just such a beautifully shot film.
Visually.
Yeah.
You need to see it on a big
screen. You want to
see
all the details.
Yep.
So, yeah, very glad about that one. Now, you know, Rutger Hauer in it, he was fantastic. I loved him as the villain, but with a, you know, it wasn't just black and white. He, you know, was fighting for his humanity.
Yep.
Replicant.
Well, I always thought he was a great actor. Mm. Anyway, did you ever see The Hitcher?
Yes, love that one.
Oh my God, how terrifying was he?
Dude, you've seen a horror film, David.
Well, but I used to go to the movies a lot. It's only in the last few years that I don't really get to the cinema anymore. But I used to go and see everything.
Now, I love, yes, well, good on you. Now, Daryl Hannah also starred in it as a very young, beautiful replicant as well. And she's actually starring in Sense8, the new series on Netflix,
right.
I think it is, which is the Wachowski siblings' new TV series, but very sort of filmic.
Right.
And it's getting very good reviews.
Right, because so, she very much disappeared there
for a while.
Yeah, and you just wonder, well, and I suppose Hollywood turns their back on a lot of stars at times, don't they? And what do? You know, like,
well,
you have to then go off and maybe do theatre or just have a life.
Well, thankfully, Tarantino sort of picked her out again and gave her the role in Kill Bill, which really, you know, reignited her career.
Yep.
But I saw an interview with her the other day, and she was sort of talking about that, yes, that was great, but she also has a lot to do with sort of human rights activism.
She's often being arrested. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think she has the power to sort of choose whether she wants to, which is fantastic.
And yeah,
because she's got the talent behind
it. And made money in the early days and invested well and can now afford to do whatever she wants to do.
Exactly. Yep. Now, David.
Yes.
So everyone should go see that if they haven't seen it, by the way.
Oh, Blade Runner, a must.
Yes. Now, my classic for the week.
Yes.
The Celluloid Closet.
Oh, yes. I remember this.
I love checking out the Celluloid Closet. I don't spend a lot of time in there, but yes, this one was made back in 1995.
And it's a doco.
It's a documentary, but it's based on a book by Vito Russo as well. So he wrote the original text in 1981. And it talks about gay representation in film all the way back to the 1890s, from the inception of film, and how, you know, the GLBTI community, I guess mostly GLBT, people were sort of depicted in film. And unfortunately, it sort of covers the fact that we were either seen as the evil character or the pathetic character or the laughingstock, basically something to laugh at. And although this is made in 1995, it's still very current today. It could be updated, of course. But in terms of, you know, the struggle that has happened within Hollywood and outside of it, and those forces that are acting upon, you know, detailing society in film and mirroring it back, it was great at sort of uncovering all these little tidbits, and this really sort of weaves this beautiful picture of how far we actually have come.
The only problem I found back in the earlier days is that gay characters were nine times out of ten played by straight people, and the gay people played straight roles in a lot, and kept their sexuality hidden for many years, or for all their lives. Look at people like the Rock Hudsons of the world, and another one that's going to come out, and I think we're going to touch on it. Cary Grant, how he went on to lead a normal life, but it's now going to be in a doco next month.
That
he lived with another man for 5 years before he became famous.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of stories about sort of hidden, like hiding your sexuality basically for, you know, to make it in Hollywood. Which is,
and
horrible,
it happened, and it's still happening.
Of course, there would be
a lot out there. Yes, a lot are open about it now, but there are still some that just struggle with it. And a lot of people say, but now's the perfect time to do it. But it's easier said than done, I think.
It is. Now, we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about that. You're listening to Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9. It's David and Brendan with you. And if you do want to get in touch with us, make sure you SMS 0427 Joy 949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. We've had a little message in, haven't we, David?
We have, and thank you so much, Melinda. You always have such innovative music on your show. Oh, thank you. Loving the arts vibe on a gorgeous Sunday. So thank you so much for the California Dreaming track that we played of Sears.
Oh, it was beautiful, wasn't it? Now, we're going to have much more coming up here on the show. You're listening to David and Brennan on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
You're on Sunday Arts Magazine with Brendan Michael Bale and David John Hunt.
Brendel,
yes. Now, we've got to say a huge thank you to Philip from, where's he from?
Nidri.
From Nidri, who has become a Joy member. And thank you so much, Philip, for joining up and also donating $28.
That's wonderful.
You can still become a member and go in for the car. Yep. It doesn't finish until the end of this month. So you can just go online and follow the prompts and become a Joy member, or rejoin. If your memberships, they pretty much all lapse now.
Yep.
So if it's that time of the year, please rejoin. But we always love getting new members. So do it now, or you can phone up and do it over the phone, but it's just as easy to do it online if you're that way inclined.
And that is joy.org.au. Very simple, very snappy. And if you do want to get in touch with us, have a chat, 0427-JOY949, or email onair@joy.org.au. Mm-hmm. And big thank you, or a big hello, to Mel and Elle listening out there. I think they're in Camberwell. I could be wrong,
right,
but they're definitely listening out there. Had a beautiful breakfast with them.
Oh, lovely.
And while I'm doing a little chat with people out there, my mum and dad, I think, are listening as well.
Oh, hello, mum and dad.
And my sister as well. So Kim, Greg, and little Chloe, big hello to you too.
Oh, lovely.
And lots of love. Now, David, we were talking about Aura Kelly.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, well, we hadn't started on him yet.
Well, we hadn't, but we sort of were alluding to the fact.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot happening with this gentleman. Now, you might not actually be aware of who that is. Can you give a little bit of an insight, David?
Well, he became the biggest costume designer in Hollywood back in the 40s and early 50s, an Australian that moved to America, lived in New York for 5 years, one-bedroom apartment with the person we mentioned earlier, who had never really came out. And to make money, he used to hand-paint neckties and sell them. And then, obviously, he was a designer and then got this huge Hollywood contract and became one of the biggest costume designers in Hollywood. And he was a very out outman in that day, back in the 40s, as you could imagine, a wooden, it wasn't all that known. There were a lot of closeted people in Hollywood, but he was very outspoken as well. As a matter of fact, he actually lost his job with the studios because he was too out about everything, would stand up and yell and scream, and then went into a lot of theatre in latter years. Died quite a few years ago, but there is a new doco coming out.
Very, very exciting about that. And Undressing Hollywood.
Yep.
Now, there's a lot actually happening around it. People are getting very excited. It is going to be showing. Well, it's actually just shown at the Sydney Film Festival.
It opened. It was the opening film.
So. And it is directed by Gillian Armstrong.
Yes.
Australian director, New Zealand director.
But
we always like to claim them.
Exactly. And she will be coming to Melbourne because she really has spent a lot of time doing a lot of research on this man because he wasn't very well known in this country. Mm. And it was such a long time ago. And she discovered how incredible he was and how influential he was and for a man that we know hardly anything about. So hopefully we'll be getting an interview with her to find out a little bit more behind the scenes and why she chose this topic.
In particular, and why documentary.
Yeah.
Now, it is going to be showing at the Astor as well at their gala opening. Now, the Astor did reopen last weekend, which has been a massive success from all accounts. But this is the opening gala. So this is this beautiful opening night, which should be fabulous. And what better film to sort of show off old Hollywood than this and bring it into the 21st century. So I think it's going to be fantastic. Mm. And it is going to be screening nationally from July 16 as well.
So we'll be talking about that a lot more as time goes on.
Yes, because we'll give more of an oversight of the... There's an actual exhibition coming to Acme as well. So that kicks off in August. So we'll give a little bit more detail about that because there's a lot going on there. They will be showing the film, but there's going to be this extensive exhibition as well. So
The original costumes that Munro wore and Tony Curtis and Some Like It Hot, they dressed as women in that one. They were in an all-women jazz band, which is awesome.
Now, we have got a message in, David.
Do you want to read it out,
okay. David. You've got a nicer voice than I do.
Just had to send you both a big hello and let you know that Athol? Maybe a new boyfriend of his. And I are enjoying your show as usual. Must also mention how much we love C. C is California Dreaming. Yes, it was amazing. So much that has been brought to it online. Yeah,
wonderful, wonderful.
And also looking forward to Who's on the Menu tomorrow night. Yes, it's our last show of Who's on the Menu for tomorrow night. If you haven't booked, you might be able to pick up tickets now, but it's pretty much closing off because we have to order the food in and whatever. It's this fantastic. We're doing it for Bent TV, where you actually get a two-course meal, a gourmet meal, which is being cooked on stage by a professional chef showing David and Sue from Friday Drive, who make a total balls up of it. But then your meal arrives from the kitchen and you sit down and have this, you're eating through the show. And it's a lot of fun and it's a big fundraiser for Joy and 94.9.
And I understand you can guarantee right now that Sue is not cooking the meals. For the guests.
For the guests. No, it's coming from the kitchen. She's not cooking the meals. But boy, does she yell at me a lot.
Sue, yes. Now, let's get into another track. This is MGMT, Electric Feel, and we're going to be joined in the studio by a very lovely gentleman very soon. Well, should we call him lovely?
I wouldn't call him lovely.
We'll see.
At all.
We'll see how he is on today. But you're listening to Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine. David and Brendan with you on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
It's Sunday Arts Magazine here on Joy 94.9. David and Brendan with you. We're getting through the show already, aren't we, David?
We are, very quickly. And we've got to quickly thank a couple of people who have sent messages in. Loving the show on the way back to Geelong. Cheers, Lisa, from Yes We Are. Aww. It's on Friday nights from 7 o'clock. And another one, Sia is a creative genius. I've also gone online to purchase it. You guys have great taste. Oh, thank you so
Melbourne
much.
Melbourne Radio rocks. Go Joy. You missed the last bit.
I did. Yes.
It does. And someone who contributes to the great community radio of Melbourne.
Oh, do you reckon he does?
It's not this guy, but Michael Dalton, thank you for coming into Joy.
My pleasure.
Now, who have you brought along with you?
My mate, Gavin.
G'day, how are you going?
Good, Kevin. Thanks.
Yes.
Now, tell us, why have you come in today?
Well, basically, I do Wednesday Drive, and you...
Well, no, everyone knows who you are.
No, but that's what I mean. You know what it's like. When you're doing that, you're normally busy promoting what everybody else is doing, and we try to get in, you know, all of that sort of stuff in our show and things like that. So it's great to have this opportunity to talk about a play that we're going to be working on, which is happening later in the year.
Yep.
But at the moment, we are trying to raise money to get this play on.
Right. So, and you're doing it crowdfunding?
Yes. Now, for me, in the beginning, I was a bit dubious about crowdfunding because I just, it sort of felt like pegging in a way, which I believe in other ways it sort of is, you know, but you do get stuff back. That's what I like about it. And if you're one of those people that, I like knowing that if I give a little bit of money, I will get something back from it. You know, some yep. people just actually give without that. But I don't know those people.
Right.
But
I do love the concept of crowdfunding because it's becoming more and more important now because when you are putting on a play like you guys are obviously going to, where do you go to? What do you do to actually get a grant or whatever?
That's right.
Those grants, they're drying up because this government has cut all of that,
yes.
which is pretty disgusting. We keep on talking about that a lot on this show. And so what else do you do?
That's right.
And you can't always find major sponsors. And isn't it lovely that we as a community, the broader community, put their hand in their pocket for something that is creative and worthwhile?
I realized also that without that, I wouldn't be able to do it. There was no way we'd be able to do it. It isn't like a normal Dolly Diamond gig where I can ring up mates and, you know, other sponsors and say, look, can you just give me a little bit of money and we can put this on? This is a lot more involved. It's, the theatre side of it. It's getting a director in. I'm not normally directed, which explains a lot. It's about getting, you know, that more involvement, which obviously costs money. You know, that's why Gavin is involved. We've been working together for a little while now, and Gavin is the creative side of things as well. Let Gavin talk about all the other ins and outs of what it is to put on a show like this and the Posable campaign.
Yeah, so we've been on Posable now for about 40 days and we're 50% or just over 50%, which is awesome.
Fantastic.
As Michael was saying, it's a huge budget to put on a show like this.
So for people out there that might not be aware, because we all just think that everything just happened. Events happen. You see a parade down the street and you go, oh, that was a bit lame. But then you've got to pay for the street to be closed. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. There are so much involved with everything you do. You put on a dance party. Huge cost.
And you're right. We think our ticket, if we buy a ticket, then that should be enough. We should be entitled to everything else that goes around that. You know, for us, putting this on, we had to buy the rights. It's never been done in Australia, which
awesome.
Is thrilling. It's called, by the way, A Different Way Home.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
It's basically... The idea then for us to, you know, the normal things that you have to do, of course, hiring the venue.
Yes.
Getting a rehearsal space for this, you know, and it is...
Publicity, marketing.
Everything. All of those sort of things,
Insurance is another huge one that most performances obviously have to do, and it costs a fortune for small or large productions.
Yeah, and sets.
Yes.
And costumes.
Set, lighting, sound.
And you've got to pay for all those individually, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And award rates as well, because, you know, we've got to do the right thing by the industry as well.
Yeah. And are the actors being paid?
Well, there's only one actor in it.
Oh, there's only one actor in it. And who are you getting? Because you must be somebody really special.
It really is.
Who and, is it?
We are obviously... it's me, Daniel. Yes. That is why I wanted to do it, because I just like to work. And one of the main reasons I wanted to do it is because it's a complete departure from anything I've ever done.
Which is fantastic that you're taking on all these different roles.
Well, you're like this. It was actually suggested to me by... a mutual friend of ours, Rose Garden,
right,
who said, I've just read this, you should read it and you should do it. And that was nearly, I think it's about 3 years ago, and constantly nagging me, why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you doing it? And it's because of the involvement. And I think I wasn't ready, which is why, I've been working a lot more, and I've been, as much as people think you're confident, you get a renewed confidence that you can try something different. Yep. This is the something different.
Yeah. Now, as you said, we know you and your confidence, especially with Dolly Diamond, your household name here in Melbourne now. Then you stretched yourself and did a show with Michael Diamond last year, wasn't it?
Michael Dalton, yeah.
Oh, Michael Diamond.
There's shooting involved. It was a mess.
Is that what he does?
Yes, that was the Olympian. Anyway.
I love that. And this is obvious, and it's not even me. This is me acting. It was done in England only once as the male in... There's a brother and a sister, and basically Leslie is the character in Act 1, and you play Leslie. He's probably in his 60s, and that's Act 1. And in Act 2, you play the sister of Leslie,
which is
Maureen.
Okay.
And
what does Maureen look like?
Well, they both are in their... Maureen's probably slightly younger. She's probably in her mid-50s.
Right.
I know you're going to love every bit of this, David. And Leslie's in his mid-60s.
Okay.
So there's a lot of ageing makeup needed.
Oh, don't you think there has to be?
I've got
a little bit. But...
kin of a newborn.
So tell us, what's the premise of the play?
It's really simple in the...
It is
in the sense that it's Northern England.
Right.
And Leslie was... living with his mother, and explains the horrific night he's just had with his mother having to go to hospital and then eventually losing his mother.
Uh-huh.
But it's a black comedy. I don't think I would want to tackle something that was just a straight drama. There's a lot of comedy in what he talks about, his bad relationship with his sister and the fact that they do not get on. And she converted to Judaism, and she's no more Jewish than he is, but she, Leslie goes on to say, she's so Jewish, even she's more Jewish than her husband, and he is Jewish, and it's just this, bitterness between the two of them. He didn't want his sister to have anything to do with his mother in the last days of her life. And then, you get an act, Maureen now. There's Maureen talking about the bad relationship with her brother, and there's just, between the lines of the bitterness, there's a lot of comedy, and that's obviously what draws me to a project.
Right. A great challenge for you.
It really is, and I'm incredibly nervous, but incredibly ready. I think you're nervous because you don't know it. That's the problem, isn't it? And it's not going on till October, but obviously the Postable campaign has, is right in the middle of it, and we need to get that actioning now, because there's only like 19 days left.
Right. I was going to say that. So, Gavin, what happens after these 19 days if you don't get enough money?
Oh, no.
So on Postable, it works that by your deadline, if you haven't reached your goal, then you don't get a cent. So if we have to reach our goal of $8,000 to get all of that money from all of our contributors.
Right. So that's not a lot of money, really, is it? Where if we put $100 in...
Well, yeah. I mean, it's back to that. Nobody's hitting on a gold mine,
apart
from Gina Reinhardt. But we couldn't care less if it was $20. I mean, and I mean that, it's $20, $50, whatever,
Every dollar counts.
It is one of those, they say that, those telethons, but I mean, every dollar does count. And even that $8,000 is not the full amount of what we need. We have to raise money in other areas.
Like sponsors and
all those other areas. But we just wanted to be realistic and not greedy with asking people to try to get that amount,
Well, you mentioned at the beginning that it's not just taking money from people. You get something back in return. What?
Yeah.
You do. So for every pledge over $50, you get tickets to come and see any of the performances.
But does that take away, though? Does that make it harder? Because then that's less money you're going to make at the box office.
Well, I know the answer to that, in the sense that majority of putting on gigs and doing these sort of things, you don't make a lot of money anyway.
Right.
I don't, none of us, because Zoe Warwick is involved in this as well, I should say.
Gorgeous person and
absolutely
smart.
Absolutely amazing. Yep. She's going to direct this. I think it's one of those pieces that we'll all end up having a bit of a say in, but, yep. we definitely want to go by what Zoe has to say. The idea being that, none of us are doing this to make money. This is not our nest egg. This is just something we really want to do.
Yeah.
And so if we can get it on, people are getting tickets to it, great. That suits me just fine. It's amazing how many people are actually donating and not expecting a reward.
Yes.
But, you know.
But there are some people out there.
Yes.
So, Gavin, what else? So you get your two tickets.
Yeah, so $50 gets you a ticket and $100 gets you two tickets.
Right.
On top of that, if you're one of the higher-level contributors, then there's some other rewards built into it that we'll announce as they happen.
Right.
We've had a couple of those already, and we're working with Anecto, which is a community involvement organisation, and we'll be doing some Q&As after shows and things for different organisations and community groups.
But it's like being a member of Joy. Some people actually say, well, what do I get out of that money that when I become a member of Joy? Well, yes, you can win prizes, but it's more the fact of being involved in something fresh and new, like it's a play that's never been performed here before. It's taken you into a different territory, Michael, and it's just that feeling of involvement. If you're not a creative person, but you love going to the theatre and you love to support the arts, what's 50? What's $100 really? It's just that feeling that you get from contributing.
Yeah, I mean that's what we believe, and most of us, a lot of people at Joy, spend a lot of their time doing stuff for nothing anyway.
Yep.
You know, I'm a big believer in put me hand out and getting money as well, because we need that. You know, that's pretty obvious. But for something like this, I think that is right. You know, I mean, if people are able to give, then fantastic. And if it's a sort of project you think you'd like to be involved in, that's great. And that's obviously what we need. Mm. It isn't for everyone, but that's just life, you know, and I totally get that as well. We should probably let people know how they, you know, get involved, because you have to go to the Poseable website.
You do. So Poseable with a Z. .com and just search for A Different Way Home or Different Way Home and follow the links.
Okay, so it's called A Different Way Home. So just remember that, A Different Way Home. And what's the website again?
www.poseable.com.
Okay. Well, all the best with it. I know you're going to get the money. It will happen. And you know, anyone out there, it's just a warm, fuzzy, good feeling to be part of it. Is there a Facebook page as well that people can go to?
There certainly is. It's also A Different Way Home on Facebook.
Right. Okay. Thanks for coming in, guys. Thank you for explaining a little bit more about what all of this is about, because everyone does get confused about the crowdfunding, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, there's loads of them, and I guess on that website you'll see others. You know, maybe this one isn't for you, but there's probably another one, and, you know, it's back to that. You know, nowadays we need to be helping each other as much as we can, because funding is not available, and this is just a great way to help people out.
Absolutely.
And
thank
as much
you.
As we love the big productions, we need the innovation the homegrown artists. So
have you got any thoughts of a venue?
Yes, we're at Chapel of Chapel.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah. Great. And they're big supporters as well.
I mean, amazingly. Well, for instance, we know we've got that venue and they haven't asked for any money yet. But ordinarily, they would have, of course, asked for their money. They're holding off and they're in support of us.
Right.
They are fantastic.
Great to work with.
Good.
Fantastic. You're listening to Sunday Arts Magazine with David and Brendan, and thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joy.
It's you, it's you, it's all for you, everything I do.
Sorry, Lana Del Rey, that was Video Games. We're going to have that in the background. We've got a couple of lovely messages here on Sunday Arts Magazine for the one and only Mark.
So we brought you back, Michael.
Yes,
so you can.
On the bus.
You're on the bus. Brendan, do you want to read them out?
Yes. Well, first one. Great to see Michael at the rally yesterday. Too much bureaucracy can stifle creativity. Marry a sugar daddy, Michael. Tongue firmly planted in cheek.
That's how I'll get him.
And they can't wait for this show.
It was a great rally. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, it really was. Mm.
There's some momentum, isn't there?
There really is. And, you know, you've got to wonder, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But we're not allowed to have that complacency. You know, they're looking for free vote in August.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's what they want.
Yes, we need that. And keep the pressure up. And you're doing a fabulous job. Now, we've got another message from Brad from the marvellous Melbourne. Have you got the costume sorted already between Michael and Dolly? several friends.
Well, costumes for this production.
Yes.
No, because you know what I have to, well, it is, I'll have to dress really dowdy as well. And it's all about getting the voice. It's a Northern English one. So I was trying to do the woman and finding the man part easy. You know, I guess the majority of my life I am a man. And but doing the woman's voice was harder because I'm trying to not sound like Dolly. And I, so, but I, you know, and she'll have to dress really dowdy. And I'm going to, well, I won't reveal too much, but I'm certainly going to go a bit bald for the male character as well.
I can give you some hints there.
Well, I don't think I'm far off, to be honest. It's not a lot of hair I've got to remove.
Well, thank you so much for coming
Pleasure.
In, Michael.
Really
and
great.
Best of luck with everything. Now we've got Marnie with the news here on Joy 94.9.
See ya.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.